Well, across NPR, we've been reporting in recent days on the growing practice of passing the costs of the criminal justice system on to offenders. NPR's investigation of this practice found that it creates an unequal system of justice, and the poor get hit the hardest. One of the most common fees in the system is a charge for electronic ankle bracelets. They allow defendants to serve time at home, and they alert police if defendants aren't where they're supposed to be. But as NPR's Emma Anderson found, the intent behind the original device was very different.
When you think of the electronic ankle bracelet, you might picture some of the more high-profile people who have worn one. Paris Hilton, maybe, or Martha Stewart. But hundreds of thousands have worn these monitors. Sex offenders, DUI offenders, people free on bail. Every state now uses the technology in some way.
I am putting it on.
But the very first electronic monitor had quite a different purpose.
It just goes around the waist, and then there are three little snaps. Depending on how fat or how thin you are, you put it on with a snap.
Robert Gable holds one of the first electronic monitors. He invented it, along with his twin brother. In the 1960s, Gable was studying psychology as a grad student at Harvard under famed psychologist B.F. Skinner. He and his brother wanted to monitor the movements of juvenile offenders through radio signals so they could encourage them to show up to places on time.
The purpose, though, was to give rewards to the offenders when they were where they were supposed to be. That is, they were in drug treatment session or went to school or a job, and then we would signal them that they were eligible for a reward.
The rewards were simple: a free haircut, pizza, concert tickets, all to inspire the offenders to behave better. Today, that's not so much how the court system uses the technology. With overcrowded jails and high costs of incarceration, many states have turned to electronic monitors as a cost-effective way to send people home and free up jail space. Last July, dozens of representatives from electronic monitoring companies came to show off their products at a probation and parole conference in Baltimore.
So this is the GPS ankle bracelet that someone would wear while they're on house arrest.
That's Daniel Graf Radford from OmniLink.
And it has a tracking device that is waterproof and is considered quite comfortable for someone that is wearing it.
Also at the conference was Ann Toyer of the Oklahoma Department of Corrections. She explained that electronic monitoring not only saves the department money, but it's also good for the offenders.
We get them back into the community where they can work, they pay taxes, they have access to community services, but if we can get them back into the community, get them working, they can pay for those services.
And the technology continues to evolve. Where once it just used radio signals to detect whether someone was at home, now many devices use GPS and cell tower signals to give extremely accurate locations. Monitors for DUI offenders can detect blood alcohol levels through a person's sweat. The system can have flaws. Devices can send false alerts. Sometimes they send so many alerts that officers can't carefully look into all of them. In Denver last year, a man allegedly tore off his device, drove to the home of the state corrections chief, and killed him. Police got an alert when he removed the device, but it took them days to respond. And while some agencies use the technology to investigate whether an offender was at a crime scene after a crime has occurred, some researchers hope to use it to predict if someone is about to commit a crime before they actually do.
Ultimately, we are hoping that our tools will help the parole officer to stop any potential crime committed by those offenders again.
That's Mei Wan, a professor at the University of Oklahoma. Using a federal grant, she and her team are developing software that analyzes offenders' movements. They use GPS data to look for patterns in someone's habits and detect suspicious behavior. Say, if a convicted burglar has been circling a particular block each day at the same time. Proponents say this shows how useful electronic monitoring can be. It can reduce or even prevent crime. The inventor of the original electronic monitor, Robert Gable, finds the evolution of the device promising, but he remains wary of its current use.
What really changes behavior are motivational factors such as fun and adventure and pride and accomplishment, recognition, affection. And unfortunately, electronic technology has gone to punishment instead of the use of positive reinforcement.
For NPR News, I'm Emma Anderson.
And you can find NPR's coverage of fees for electronic monitoring and other court services at npr.org/guilty and charged.